This episode of the Infamous Podcast is brought to you by the Flying Pork Apparel Company.
Do you have a moment to talk about the Flying Pork Apparel Company? We specialize in designer t-shirts, several of which are available on our website, flyingporkapparel.com. But we also do custom designs for special events and group functions. The Flying Pork Apparel Company, fielding nearly all of your needs involving t-shirts, flyingporkapparel.com. FlyingPorkApparel.com. Designer t-shirts for naked bodies. Rated PG-13.
Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian. I'm with Daryl.
We've got genius.
I was going to say red pill Daryl Jasper. Anyway, no. Super genius, super bad, like Kip Sabian, super bad Daryl Jasper.
Wile
E. Coyote Daryl Jasper.
Super genius.
Anywho, so yeah, we have a podcast for you this week. We are talking, we're going to catch up on a whole bunch of news because like just stuff happened this week. I had an idea when at the beginning of the week, and then as news started like rolling in since last Thursday when we recorded, I was like, we need a news episode. So
yeah,
here we go.
Good stuff in here too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really good stuff.
So we're going to talk WandaVision, the WandaVision trailer, which was short, but it was good. Microsoft acquires Bethesda Softworks. Supergirl's canceled. Darn. Suicide Squad is already getting a TV series spinoff on HBO Max, which apparently proves if it's, you know, not a prequel, proves one of my shots I called, like, just blows it right out of the water about the Suicide Squad. Follow up on the Pedro Pascal crybabiness from last week, and some Snyder Cut stuff, and then we get into episode 5 of the boys. All right, so Daryl, how you doing, buddy?
Doing very well. Playing some Avengers before we started.
Cool.
There, for those Avengers fans, there have been a couple of updates. There was a massive update, which was it last Friday, where I've never heard of this before, over a thousand fixes for the game.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's one of those.
That's like they released the alpha.
No, that was the pre-alpha.
Yeah, right. This is the original render of the game. But yeah.
And then there was one that was a surprise one that was released, you know, we're recording on Thursday. So sometime Thursday morning, and it actually fixed some stuff that I honestly didn't know was broken.
Yeah,
on
that's,
my end.
I guess that's a problem when so much is broken. So,
yeah.
But, you know, as normie gamers, you know, we still enjoy the game.
I'm pretty experienced in gaming. So
now it's just, you know, the whole younger but 95 thing, like complain about normie gamers. I'm like, hey, wait, I'm a normie gamer and I'm not complaining about it. Like, get off my back. Anyway, hey, before we get started, make sure you check out our Patreon at infamouspodcast.com/Patreon or patreon.com/infamouspodcast. See what I did there? Anyway, we've got lots of cool rewards on there. If you do stuff, mainly give us money to help us grow the show better, because I've decided Daryl needs a new microphone, one of his own, and it'd be great if you guys helped him get it, because he's been an awesome addition to the show. And lastly, thank you to Julian Brown for being our sole patron right now. So join the Julian Brown Club, which is what I'm going to call it for any new patrons who join. It's the Julian Brown Club, and we'll get it going.
Sounds good to me.
Awesome. All right. So, kicking off, we got WandaVision.
Psychedelic trailer.
Did you expect the trailer to drop when it did?
Well, I knew it was supposed to be coming because it's coming before year end. I thought it was December, but they didn't give a date for the trailer.
So, I saw December 20th was a date that was thrown about, but they pushed back like Black Widow and Eternals and everything else, and it's like, why? Right. Why? Anyway, like, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about the trippy ass, like, House of M-esque WandaVision trailer.
Yeah, that So I was expecting it within the next month or so.
Yeah.
You know, it was a nice little surprise the other day when it dropped.
Yeah, it just came out of nowhere on Saturday or something weird.
Yeah. And it looks about as trippy as they were kind of hinting that it was going to be, which is, honestly, I kind of like it. I mean, yeah. I'm a huge Wanda fan. I love her addition in the MCU.
Yeah.
You know, rest in peace, Vision. Died twice.
Right.
Seconds.
I mean, as we you know, like to talk about siblings and the superior versions of siblings, I mean, Elizabeth is the superior Olsen.
Oh, there's no doubt.
So, it's kind of like playing with the house money when you say that, but she's 100% the superior Olsen. She's great as Wanda. I love Paul Bettany. I love Paul Bettany.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I've told you my Paul Bettany story, right?
No.
Okay, so when I lived in New York, I lived on the same street as him and Jennifer Connelly.
Oh, that's...
And so I'd see them. Like, I never talked to them. I, like, would just see them all the time. And, like, it's like, wow, he's awesome. Because he'd just been in, like, A Knight's Tale. And then, you know, she's Jennifer Connelly, like, one of the three loves of my life. You know, it was just really cool. And, like, you know, it was just fun. Like, you'd see them around the neighborhood. Or you'd see them walking in and out of their house. And it was just kind of cool.
I love it. Love A Knight's Tale.
Yeah.
Chaucer.
Yep. Yeah, he was great. And then, you know, I've always liked Paul Bettany. I love it when he shows up and things. So, but I love him as Vision, actually. And I felt like Vision did not get his just due with the Avengers Endgame and the scene where Thanos's giant warship got destroyed by Captain Marvel. Like, to use a wrestling term, I would have popped my nips off if it would have been Vision.
I told you what I thought, which, again, I had no idea why. It's not like I heard a rumor or anything like that. But for a split second, when they panned up to the sky, I'm like, is it Silver Surfer?
Oh,
I
mean, the deal wasn't
done yet. Like, I don't know why I thought that. But, yeah, that movie would have been better without Captain Marvel.
Yeah, absolutely. So.
It would have felt more organic. I don't know if Vision. I mean, it would have been awesome if that was Vision. He showing him unleash his full potential,
right?
Which he's never really.
We
been able
never got to
do.
See it, and you know, like in the comic, you know, it wasn't the Soul Stone that gave him, or the Mind Stone that gave him his power. So you know, whatever. But no, I liked it. I think it looked cool. I love Catherine Hahn. In everything she's ever been in. She was in this great little, like, short-lived HBO, like, 6-episode. They called it the limited series, but it was one series and canceled, let's be honest. Called Mrs. Fletcher, which is just really funny. She's this divorcee who's all of a sudden an empty nester because her douchey son goes off to college. And she ends up hooking up with the kid that, her kid bullied. Like, you know, because he just graduated high school and they were in, like, the same continuing education writing class together. So, I don't know. But she's really good. I love her and everything. When she was in Parks and Rec, she was a scene stealer every time she was in there.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I like that they didn't. And again, I think this is one of those shows that a trailer really can't, you know, capture the essence of. It just kind of, because it seems like it's going to be so trippy that it's one of those things like, I can't show you the Matrix.
You're right.
I can't show you. I can't tell you the, like, tell you.
You have to see it for yourself.
You have to see it for yourself.
Yep. So, I mean, I'm all in on this one.
This is going to be.
Absolutely. So, yep. So, that's exciting. It's coming to the Plus at some point in the near, what's the word I'm looking for? Future. All right, so moving on. Bethesda Games, or I guess Bethesda Softworks is what it's really called.
Which I didn't know the Softworks thing, even though it plays. I play Fallout all the time, and it plays before it. So,
I'm going through Bethesda. Their list of games, and I don't play Doom. I don't play Elder Scrolls. I don't play Fallout. I don't play Wolfenstein. I don't play Quake. I don't play Star. Like, I don't play any of these games. So it's
I play the Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
I play Fallout. I just got a Dishonored, like the two games. And then I guess a big DLC. I just bought that on the PSN for like $20 or something. I've only heard good things about it. Never played Doom. Never played Quake. I've thought about getting Doom. Wolfenstein actually Wolfenstein is pretty good. I have that. I still have the second game that I haven't even played yet, the new Colossus.
Oh, cool.
So
wait, Colossus. Like the Shadows of the Colossus?
No. It's called like Wolfenstein, the new Colossus.
Oh. Sorry. Okay. I lost you there. I like just lost my train of thought there.
You know what?
Anyway. So Microsoft bought them for $7.5 billion with a B, capital B, dollars. So the Trace Commas Club there. if you've watched Silicon Valley, you'll get that joke. Anyway, so I thought this was really interesting, right? So these are all very popular games that are not exclusive platform only games. And I know, like, there's a new Doom game coming out. There's a new Elder Scrolls game coming out. And I think there's a new Fallout game coming out
as well.
There
should be a new Fallout. So, yeah.
And so this does not affect anything until, like, 2021. But I really think Microsoft is going to be really stupid if they take all of these games and say, you know what? These are all now Xbox exclusive. Because here's the secret. These companies don't make any money selling the hardware. They make all the money selling the software. And, you know, like you sent me the meme earlier today about like all these kids are going to get mad when their parents buy them Xbox Ones instead of the Xbox XS or whatever it's called. And I just replied, no, they're just all going to be upset because they didn't get PlayStations. So, yeah. You know,
yeah,
don't at me on that.
Yeah, this is, I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't think that would be a good idea because you cut off, like, again, Elder Scrolls and, say for instance, because, again, Fallout and Elder Scrolls, there's a huge, huge population of PlayStation fans that play that game. Mm-hmm. So are you trying to say you want to, you know, cut off, say, half of your player base for these games or customers in the hopes that maybe 1% or 2% of those, which will buy an Xbox Series X.
Okay, so here's my thought on this, right? Like, I'm a casual gamer at best, right?
Yeah.
But I'm all in on the PlayStation ecosystem. I've been on the platform since PS2. I've got my PSN stuff. I've got all, like, the trophies and stuff I've won and like, you know, friends on the PSN and you know, people that I'll like, game with and things like that. Albeit occasionally, because I typically don't like playing online. I'm not going to go and switch to a whole new thing and like have to like rebuild all that. Maybe I can get my screen name, which I was just allowed to change on the PSN. Maybe I can't. You know, I'm not going to take that chance.
And I don't there's a lot of people like that. Well, I'm the same way. I've been a fan, a PlayStation fan since the beginning. I mean, yeah, self-proclaimed PS fanboy. Mm-hmm. I'm not like hardcore like some people, but I am like, if there was, you know, an intermediate level, a high intermediate level of gaming, that's where I would be.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to. Yeah. I love Fallout. I really love like Elder Scrolls. Well, particularly Skyrim, since mm-hmm. I bought two copies and put 80 plus hours in both copies.
Why did you buy two copies?
One was for the PS3, and then I bought two or three years, or no, it was like last year or the year before last.
You bought like the remastered version?
Yeah, on the PS4. Yeah. And so I did that. I'm not going to, and there were a lot of people like us where they're just going to say, okay, you know what?
Yeah.
PlayStation, well, we have all these other games. We have Horizon Zero Dawn. I don't know if Uncharted, they're going to do another Uncharted series.
Right.
There's going to be a ton of exclusives on PlayStation, which I just saw that Metal Gear Solid is getting a full remake on PS5, which, again, I don't know if you're a Metal Gear fan, but for those Metal Gear Solid fans, that was like one of the games that brought me to the PlayStation.
Okay.
Metal Gear Solid back in 98.
So, yeah, like, you know, like Halo's a Microsoft game, right? And then you've got like the PS5. The PlayStation ones, like you got like Infamous and, you know, the other, you know,
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. I mean, yeah. And like now, I mean, he's a PlayStation only character at that point.
Yes.
which, yep. you know, it's great. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. So, and the other thing too is because they make so much of their money off selling the games, because I mean, the markup on the games is ridiculous. But when you think about it, the markup on the games isn't that bad, because when we were younger, games were $50, right? Like right. a Nintendo game on the NES was $50. Now, yeah. a badass game is $50 on the like yeah. next gen consoles. So, you know, there's not a whole lot to complain about there.
Well, now I will say I did see that certain games, like Call of Duty, for example, is going to be $70. Now, I like most games, I think, are still like the Miles Morales game. Went up for pre-sale last week.
Yeah.
When, you know, when the pre-orders went out, yeah. and it was $50. It was 40 or 50. Because I was surprised that I know it's not a full launch game like Spider-Man.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's a launch title. That's why. I mean, they right. want people to get it and then get the game because they're going to spend $500 on the system. So I am not getting the system at launch. I decided I'm going to wait probably like 6 months and then get it.
I think I am too.
So, like, are you gonna get the one with the drive or without the drive?
I'm gonna get the drive.
Yeah, same. All right. So moving on, as we just journey through the news this week, Supergirl was canceled. Yeah.
You didn't hear it. Okay.
I told Haley this morning. And I said, "Hey, Supergirl got canceled," and she goes, "That show's still on." I'm like, yeah, it's relatively unpopular on the CW.
Yeah. So when I first logged into the call and didn't have my mic on, one of the things I said, and I've been singing this song all day, I don't know why, but it's All Over But the Crying. And thankfully that I can say that about the Supergirl.
So,
and that sounds bad because yeah. I know there are people that enjoy it. And I will say I watched the first probably season and a half, and the first season was okay. I love Melissa Benoist.
Yeah.
Name? Yeah. I love her as Supergirl, her as a character. I like some of the other characters, mm-hmm. not all of them. But after season one, I don't know what happened in the writer's room, but it was – yeah, I understand it's not written for me. I understand that.
So I've been thinking about that exact thing, right? Mm-hmm. And I think what happened was when it was on CBS, they have a certain standards and practice for their demographic, which is not the Supergirl demographic, to your point about you. And so when it moved to the CW, they're like, okay, we can start getting more and more woke as it goes on and changing things. I actually enjoyed the first season. I thought it was, yeah. it was a good little show. It had a ton of heart. You know, Melissa Benoist was a great pick for Supergirl. She had the look. I felt like she did a good job balancing Kara Danvers or Kara, versus, Supergirl. And, I almost called her. No, it was Kara Danvers in the
Car,
show.
Yeah.
Car. Yeah. Anyway. And I loved, what's her name? Allie McBeal. Calista Flockhart. I thought she was great. And,
yeah.
you know, and then the sister, Cheryl Lee, was Alex.
Kyler Lee. Yeah, she was on.
Kyler. Thank you. Yeah.
In my great, like the Grays. I love her. Like,
I remember her from Not Another Teen Movie.
Wasn't Captain America in
it? Yeah, Chris Evans was in that. Yeah, he played the Freddie Prinze Jr. role. Paul Walker was in it too. Oh no, wait, Paul Walker wasn't in that one. But no, it was Eric Christian Olsen who was in it. Anyway, but yeah, so then I watched all of season two, and I actually tapped out in season three when they introduced yet another Kryptonian villain. And it was like, this is as bad as the Flash with the speedsters. Like, and then the SJW-ness was just getting out of hand. And yeah. I will say the role I liked her most in was the Elseworlds role where she played the evil version of Supergirl, Ultra Girl or whatever they called her. Like,
yeah,
I would have really been all her. In on a series of that.
Yeah, I was a fan of their, for the most part, I was a fan of their crossovers. They did some really cool stuff with that. And it was more, and what I liked about it was more about the story. Mm-hmm. And Supergirl was forced to be part of the story and not the wokeness, like you said. And again, I think it was just terrible writing. especially like in the later seasons, because I, you know, I would jump here and there because I was, you know, it would come after, on after or before Arrow or something like that. So yeah. I would get the last few minutes or first few minutes. I can't remember, but I would try watching it, and then it would be so cringy, I would have to turn it off. But I know people like it, and I'm not going to dog it too much. Mm-hmm. But one thing I do think that's good for a show is when they know it's the final season, they can help wrap stuff up instead of, you know, doing
I think it's good that they said season six is it. You're canceled, but you've got, you know, 13 more episodes or 22. I don't remember. But I tell you where it lost me, and this is where most of these shows lose me, is when the tokenized version of the character is all of a sudden so OP that they dominate the, you know, the base character, like she did to Superman.
When Superman became a jobber, that
well,
was...
you know, I mean, part of it was that, like the whole Kryptonian thing, like Clark had been here all along, and, you know, she came late because she got caught up in the Phantom Zone, and you know, like all of a sudden she, within just a few years, she's as powerful as he is. Like, no, that's not, like, that's not how the Kryptonian powers work, as the rules have been set for Kryptonians, and the show even had that. And so, like, I hate it when shows break their own rules,
mm-hmm.
like any show with magic. So. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to miss it. I'm not going to go back and watch it. It's, you know,
I'm kind of done with CW anyway.
Yeah. I'm going to watch, I think The 100 just finished. So when those hit Netflix, I'm going to watch that. And then Netflix is probably getting canceled anyway. So, but yeah, I think that, like Haley was the perfect, like, age for this show. And she didn't want anything to do with it. And I think they just lost a lot of viewers by, and it should have been a show that was, got as many viewers as The Flash because Absolutely. Of the popularity of Supergirl. But they just went after the niche audience that doesn't really tune in every week, doesn't go buy merchandise. They just complain about stuff on social media. So,
yep.
Anyway, all right, so moving on to that. So the Suicide Squad spinoff show is this interesting thing. Did you read the article?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so when we talked about the Suicide Squad stuff from DC fandom, and I said John Cena as Peacemaker is going to be the first one to die. Like, you know, you're more than 5 minutes old. You remember this. like... This, like, either proves me, like, way wrong, or this is a prequel.
Right.
So,
I mean, it's kind of interesting that, well, I mean, they did this with the Batman, too, mm-hmm. in the sense of announcing a HBO Max series, which, by the way, HBO Max, you gotta fix your UI.
Yeah, so this is an HBO Max series as well.
Yes. So both show, or, well, both... you know, property, as far as when I say properties, I mean DC.
Yeah.
Are having series based on movies that mm-hmm. haven't even come out yet, which I find kind of interesting. They're putting now I think the Batman is fine in the mm-hmm. sense of, I think the Batman's going to do extremely well. I think, and again, I'm looking forward to this take of the Suicide Squad. I don't know how many people are going to be turned off because they see Suicide Squad and remember what happened the last time. But you know, I like James Gunn. I've liked what he's done, not just with Guardians, but you know, some of his other stuff.
I like James Gunn a lot. So,
So
Super was interesting, very dark.
Yeah.
Slither was fun. And I don't even like horror movies. So the Batman thing you're talking about is called, Batman. It's essentially year one prequel. And it's the point of view of a crooked cop with Batman's emergence as a vigilante in Gotham City. And it's done by Matt Reeves. So it'll be interesting. James Gunn is supposed to write and direct on the series. I don't know if he's doing all of them or not. But I will
say he's going to write all the whole series and mm-hmm. direct several episodes, including the series premiere.
Okay. And I'm a huge John Cena fan. Like, wrestling, movies.
John Cena.
Well, I'm a huge fan of the idea of him because you're right, he's impossible to see, and you know, I mean, essentially he plays the Invisible Man in everything that he does, but damn, he kills it.
Yeah, he does.
But yeah, no, it's
now I have his theme song just blaring in my head right now. Bah, bah,
bah. Hey Daryl, your time is up. My time is now. Anyway. So I'm interested to see this. And like, you know, this is where they went wrong with the DC Universe app. They didn't actually make stuff to kind of go onto it other than Titans and Doom Patrol and, you know, oh, did I tell you I finished season one of Doom Patrol?
No.
Finally, after 2 years. And I'm on episode two of Doom season two, and I still haven't gotten past it. But no, I think this is a good idea to tie in and everything. And yeah, hopefully HBO Max fixes their UI because it's pretty bad. I'm a UX designer, guys. You can call me. I'll help you out. I have very reasonable rates.
Yeah. Pretty sure a toddler could do a little bit better than that.
Yeah. But no, I'm interested. And the whole idea of the way they're, you know, with Peacemaker and, you know, he's peace at any cost, no matter how many people he has to kill, as, you know, the tagline they have is perfect. And the little bit of art that they had on the bounding and the TV line article in the show notes was really good. And it might be something I share as a meme on our Instagram soon. But yeah, so I don't know. I mean, there's not a whole lot to say yet because we haven't seen the Suicide Squad. Like, maybe it'll be a bust and, you know, this could be like a redeeming quality to it. But it's James Gunn. I don't think it will be. I will say Dave Bautista kind of has been attacking John Cena and The Rock lately for the roles they choose, saying he's a character actor.
I'm a character.
Character actor, and they're just movie stars. Oh, lovey. And so, but now, like, Cena's kind of following that blueprint now of going, and he's done a bunch of, you know, I mean, Cena hasn't done a lot of movies. I thought he was really good in Bumblebee. He was him and Haley and in Bumblebee were the best parts of that movie. Yeah. Like, you know, maybe James Gunn opens up, you know, some other types of acting ability like we got out of character actor David Bautista.
Yeah. And to be honest, when I read that about Bautista, it almost sounded like it was a work.
Because yeah,
I'm just thinking, are you really that pretentious to think that you're...
He has a blue nose ring, you know, they call him Blue Tista. So
like
he's a grown man with a tattoo around his belly button and then a belly button ring. So, I mean, come on. To kind of segue into the next story, Dave, this is not the way.
That's actually a good segue. And speaking of
not being the way.
You know, yeah. Our buddy Pedro.
So Soy Boy Viper. Pedro Pascal. You go with the Viper. I call him a Soy Boy. Anyway. So more stuff came out. If you guys... So Grace Randolph reported last week that, you know, he walked off and was not to be seen again and everything. And then DVD Overlord, Victor Von Doomcock on YouTube... added some more color saying he did walk off. He didn't go to Kathleen Kennedy, according to DVD Overlord. Apparently he went directly to George Lucas because George was on set and George, you know, didn't want to listen to him. I got nothing for you. And so now the new rumor is that Pedro Pascal is just going to voice the Mandalorian.
Which, you know what? It's fine by me.
Yeah, if he wants to be the voice, great. Like, cool.
You know, and, you know, you're talking about, you know, Bautista talking about, I mean, he's wanting to be a character, mm-hmm. a real actor, whatever, yeah. whatnot. And I understand that, you know, acting is a job in the sense of every role is a different job, is a project.
Mm-hmm.
What I love, and again, you don't have to do this to be great. Don't get me wrong. Or for me to be a fan of you. But one of the things I love is when there are actors like Henry Cavill who are in love with the character and the role that they want to be. Like, he's the reason he got The Witcher, because he was like, hey, I want to be play The Witcher. I want to play The Witcher. I want to play The Witcher.
I would like to play.
He plays The Witcher.
I would like to be Geralt of Rivia. And look at me with my flowing white hair.
Yeah, and I know everybody can't do that because, again, it's – but I do love, especially in the, you know, in the world of sci-fi and, you know, fiction like this, where an actor – loves the character that he or she is playing,
right?
Or and the fact that Pedro knows this character and conceivably he understands the fact that the whole helmet thing, not removing the helmet, not showing your face, is like
the way
heart and soul. It's part heart and soul of the character. And then you want to say, "Hey, I just want to show my face a little bit more. Can we do that?"
Yeah, you know,
I mean, that's
fine. So he was also allegedly jealous of Gina Carano and Baby Yoda getting attention when he is, quote unquote, the actual star of the show, which led to some friction. And there's rumors that he would, like, take the helmet off in the middle of scenes. And if that's true, dude, you're wasting, like, people's time, people's money. Like, if you ruin a one-time shot, you know, like, I'm just not okay with people who act like that. Like, you get paid to do a job that, like, you know, you're, you know, he's like in what, his mid 40s, he might be 50. You know, so, and, but he's a relatively new name. It's like, that's not how you act if you want to have that, like, big breakout role where you become a household name, which this is what it was doing for you. And people loved you in this role. So, I don't know. Yeah. I they had Mando Monday, Hasbro did, where they had a bunch of Mandalorian toys come out and stuff. And, like, you know, I only want the Cara Dune toys and the other Mandalorians from the series. But I'm done buying Din Djarin character, Din Djarin action figures. So,
yeah, it's, I know Gina Carano did say, you know, give him thanks for, like, sometimes when the, you know, when the camera was just on her, helping her out by making that eye contact. That's one thing. But like you said, if he's taken off his helmet just because.
And let's be fair. This is rumor. So, grain of salt. But I'm just saying, if that's the case, that's not cool.
Right. Yeah. So, again, you know, he's still the voice. I don't know how much he was in the suit in the first place. So I again, he's the voice. It's not a big loss.
Yeah.
Again, like if all this is coming to fruition.
Yep.
Again, I want to see more Cara Dune because I'm in love with Gina Carano. Right. Let's be honest.
If there is a scene where, like, you know, I felt like the scene where he took the helmet off at the end of season one was relatively organic and it was kind of cool. I would have preferred he had a full beard instead of his same mustache from the Golden Circle, but you know, if they can work things out like that where he can show up and, like, take it off and be like, I'm injured, fix me with some Bacta, cool, I'm great, you know. But, like, don't make everybody else's life miserable. Like, we already have Natalie Portman in our lives for that, so
maybe she's seen the error of her ways for Thor Love and Thunder.
I don't know, is Taika a good enough director to, like, get an actual performance out of her?
Remember her in the trilogies? Come on, she was.
Anakin, you're breaking my heart. Anyway, sorry, I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. Thinking about that, but yeah, so I'm still all in on the Mandalorian season two now.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I'm excited. If some of the other rumors are true that they're gonna kind of use the Mandalorian as a way to spin off Filoni-verse characters. I mean, I'm never going to complain about that.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Dave Filoni is the guy, you know?
Yeah. He has a proven Star Wars track record, which, again, that's one thing that I look at with certain filmmakers is, what is their track record? Mm-hmm. What did I think of their track of that list of movies or shows? And we were talking about that, what, last week or something about, you know, I know what I'm going to get. We're talking about the Justice League a couple weeks ago, where I said I know what I like about Zack Snyder, and most of his movies I like in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Justice League, I know I'm going to like it in some way, shape, or form, as long as it's not, like, you know, right, the Sucker Punch, which is pretty much the only movie he's made that I did not like at all.
Yeah. So, all right. So, like, that's a great segue. So into
the Justice League reshoots
that are going on. So a couple things. One, it looks like with the reshoots, we're getting more scenes filmed with Batfleck and Henry Cavill, and maybe Cyborg and the rest of the crew. Who knows? But that's I think that's a good thing. But yeah, so you brought this one to the table today. Why don't you tell us what's going on here?
Yeah. So funny enough, it was what I saw this maybe was it like 15 minutes or so before we started.
Yeah, I barely read it.
Yeah, and so the idea was a few weeks ago or maybe a month ago or when like during the DC that Comic-Con or whatever. They said they were going to get $30 million to kind of finish up the movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
Now, yeah. So now that's been bumped up to $70 million, which, I mean, I'm curious to see how much, like, is that $70 million? Again, so it's an extra $40 million that they're going to get. What is he going to add? Because there's already 4 hours of cut, and I know he's going to do these reshoots, so how much of that is for, like, I'm just curious to see what that extra $40 million is going to bring to the table.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And again, it's not, you know, it's not coming out of my bank account, which I wish I could get $40 million just like that.
Right. So. Like just an extra 40 million. Like, here you go. Just,
yeah,
like,
yeah, here you go. Yeah. Take, yeah, do whatever you want with it.
You know, we said 30, but you know, here's 70. Just, you know, go nuts. Like, you know, are they gonna have to CGI Ben back into like CrossFit shape, or is that what's happening? I don't know. But no, I, like I've said like many times, I've got very limited expectations for the Justice League spinoff. The Justice League reshoots,
the Snyder cut,
the Snyder spinoff, and so you know it's coming out next year. It was a bad movie. I can't imagine there's so much stuff that it's gonna be good that was left on the cutting room floor.
I always tell you this, and I said you're like, I'm not gonna do this, so. I liken it, hopefully, again, this is hopefully, it could be a dumpster fire, but hopefully it's kind of like the ultimate cut of Batman v Superman. Those two, they were two different, totally different movies. Well, they still had Lex Luthor.
Okay, I've seen the ultimate cut, and it still says, Martha, why'd you say that name? Martha.
Stop raining on my parade, man. Don't bring that up, please.
And like, why is Amy Adams there? Like, you know, and like, they knew the Kryptonite staff is going to kill him, and you have an as powerful being standing right next to them in Wonder Woman. Give her the staff. Let her go kill Doomsday with the Kryptonite staff.
The whole Martha thing.
Martha.
Like, if there were two things I could cut out of that movie, it would be that whole Martha scene, or the whole save Martha. And then Jesse Eisenberg totally cut him out.
Yeah, and delivering a mason jar of pee to Holly Hunter was pretty stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, yeah. All right, cool. Well, you know, that's the news in about 40 minutes. So, actually, while you were talking, I found something else, and it'll tie in real quick. Apparently, Amazon has already greenlit a Boys spinoff, and it's fast tracked for development.
Spinoff?
Yes, The Boys. Same executive production team, the executive producer, me, Craig Rosenberg. But it's going to be about the superhero college. or about so a superhero college. I've never watched that anime, so I don't know. But yeah, it's written. Yeah, it's being written by the boys' executive producer Craig Rosenberg, and it'll be set in America and at America's only college, exclusively for young adult superheroes, run by Vought International. And it says here, part college show, part Hunger Games, all the heart, satire, and raunch of the boys.
Interesting.
So yeah, so Deadline broke this today, and it just happened to be a link on Geek Tyrant too. So yeah, it's fast tracked. So I have no idea what fast tracked for development means.
Especially now.
Yeah, it says here the untitled show is described as an irreverent R-rated series that explores the lives of hormonal competitive soups as they put their physical, sexual, and moral boundaries to the test, competing in some of the competing for some of the best contracts in the best cities.
Because it's the same creative team, and it's superheroes. Who am I kidding? I'm gonna watch it.
So I've been rereading the comic, right? And I finally got to the herogasm part. Where did you get that far?
I did not.
Okay, so Vought makes up this story that there is an alien invasion every year, and all the soups have to fly into space to fight it. But what really happens is they all go to this private island and essentially just have a giant orgy. And it just so happens that the vice president in the boys universe showed up. And so the boys were there to kidnap one of the Secret Service agents. And that's where Black Noir raped Wee Huey. Not making light of that at all. It's just something that happened. And yeah, so it is... I don't think it'll ever be as debaucherous as the comic. Like, honestly,
I don't need it to. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want it to be like as like I think the way they handle it is great.
Garth Ennis, whatever.
Yeah.
Has a tendency to go overboard with that. And not necessarily the boys. I don't know if you've ever read Crossed.
No.
Dude, I had to stop reading that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the same thing with Preacher. I had to stop reading Preacher. I thought his Punisher always went a little overboard. Actually, my favorite Punisher writer is Greg Rucka. Shocker, I know him be my favorite comic book writer. Like, pretty much any time he's on a book, it's my favorite version of it. But yeah, except for Green Lantern. That's Peter J. Tomasi. So yeah, I don't know. This is interesting. Like I said, I just saw it. I mean, it sounds like fun. I like a good, like maybe it's like Saved by the Bell the college years, but like really good. So
or Sky High,
but that was high school.
I know. I mean, just so like Hero Academia.
Oh, yeah.
Too,
so what? Like it'd be like Sky High if they go off to high. If they all have to go off to college together, but then they get kind of like super horny. So
yeah. So I'll give it a go. Let's be honest. Same creative team. So
yep. Superhero. Same creative team. It's all good. So
yeah. I have Prime. It's going to be on Prime. Yeah.
Yep.
There's.
All right, so The Boys season 2 rolling along. We only got a few more episodes left after this week. So episode 5, it's called We Gotta Go Now. It was written by Banton Silva directed by Banton Silva and written by Ellie Monahan. So yeah, we got to see the making of the Dawn of the Seven.
Okay, how about that Josh line?
Right?
Josh rewrites are really singing.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's so funny. I don't know when they shot that in relation to everything that's happening with Joss Whedon's reputation right now. But I think let's save like the Homelander stuff till last again, because I think that's a lot of fun just to talk about him. So Queen Maeve, the movie opens with Queen Maeve rescuing a hacker, I assume, like a hacker superhero. And, she's like, I saved the day and I'm gay and I'm proud. It's like, and you just see, you know, Dominique, just like the way she played that, just with the disgust on her face the entire time. She was just like, ugh.
I love the whole, how they fit, you know, scenes from the movie, or quote unquote the Dawn of the Seven movie, yeah, in there with the whole bringing the Maeve storyline.
Right.
Thanks, home. Yeah, thanks for outing her Homelander on national TV.
Right, right, right. I
don't
did
do that, folks.
No, I liked the scene with Maeve and Stormfront and Starlight, where she's like 3 inches taller than everybody else because she was standing on the platform, and they were like, because girls get it done, and it was like totally making fun of that scene from Endgame.
Yeah.
So
one of the most contrived scenes in cinematic history.
Yeah, but then the other funny thing with Maeve was with her and Elena, where they're like, all right, we're going to butch you up. And the guy who was the writer on 30 Rock, who was in the support group in season one, because the one superhero like froze his thing off. He's like, you know, yeah, the public doesn't like two like attractive women together. It's like, what are you talking about? Where is like why does that matter? And then they're like, well, here's like the suit you're gonna wear and like the really short hair you're gonna have now. And she's like, and she looks at Maeve, and Maeve is just sitting there disgusted, and she walks off, and Maeve's like, I'll handle this. And I'm waiting for Maeve to just snap. Just, you know, 100% snap.
So, and then another part of the movie was our boy A-Train gets his send off.
Yeah. When he rewrote his scene, and they're like, we're just going to do it our way.
I was like, I appreciate it, but
oh, that's cute.
So one of the things I forgot to mention, that when I think it was when we were talking about the first three episodes. So there was a deleted, there were like three or four, no, it was episode three or four. No, episode four, where there were three deleted scenes, and one of them had A-Train talking about his finances. And in that scene, I guess it tells that the Seven, they make upwards of $40 million a year for their role in the Seven. That's kind of important, because in that scene itself, you have it, like A-Train or his financier, he says, well, dude, you have $240,000 in your bank account, despite, you know, earning all this money. So when, what's her name? When Ashley says, hey, you can walk away with your severance and all this, he is basically, he got his balls in a vice.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he bought an island that he's never seen.
Right.
He's never been to
that. And can we talk about just the balls that Ashley showed to him in this scene?
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, the stark contrast of her later in the episode with what happened with Homelander there. It was really interesting to see her little shift through time. I felt like we didn't get enough Starlight this episode, but after like the road trip, like I thought back about it. I was like, you know, that's all right.
I'm kind of worried for her, because what's her name? Stormfront knows that Starlight was the one that leaked the information about Compound B.
Yeah. So.
But also, Starlight got a little bit of information about the Sage. Was it the Sage home or something like that? Or one of the when she was looking into Stormfront's email. So
yeah.
I don't know how much she got from that. If she was able to open one and look at some stuff, I don't know. We don't know yet. But so she has a little bit on Stormfront. But yet again, Stormfront's more, you know, we know about Starlight. We don't know a lot. We're starting to know more about Stormfront.
To quote Billy Butcher, Stormfront is diabolical.
Yeah.
In a really bad New Zealand accent. So interesting. It was like, I don't know. I thought Stormfront was great. Like going back and forth between the movie and hating the movie and being in the movie, and then talking to Starlight's mom and, you know, all of that. And Annie's like, mom, get out of here. Like she was trying to protect her mom. That's what was happening.
Right, yeah.
And her mom is just so oblivious to what's happening there. She just couldn't stop.
And I know you said this before we even started watching the show or season two, is that like, you love how much you love Aya Cash.
Mm-hmm.
She is incredible in this role. She is just Like,
hold on. You didn't need to put that modifier at the end. She's incredible. Like, whatever she does, she is incredible. I think, like, as far as, like, actresses go, she is so versatile in what she can do. And I'm so happy to see her being this badass that she was. Because if you look back to the characters she played on You're the Worst, right? Gretchen was manic and mentally ill and crazy and depressed and, you know, not at ever in control of any of her faculties, really. She was just a hot mess, you know, a heated mess, a mess that had heat applied to it. And here she's cool. She's collected. She knows what she wants. She knows how to get it. And it's impressive. Like, she is so impressive. She's terrifying.
Oh, absolutely. And again, I say that in this role just because I have no other experience. Yeah, with her. Sure.
She was on a really short lived comedy called Traffic Light, where she was, was he in? I can't remember the actor's name. Oh, he was. You just watched New Girl. He was the guy that was Jess's cousin that Jess was hooking up with at the near the end of the series. Robbie. Yeah. So that was her boyfriend that she lived with in the show Traffic Light, and like she was just sweet and down to earth, but like had massive amounts of debt and like, you know, just kind of that was like the funny thing. That was the thing that was wrong with her. She was just like debt ridden. But yeah, I mean, she's funny, like she's really. Anyway, sorry, I'm a huge Aya Cash fan, and I can talk about her all day. Love you, Aya.
Yeah.
She was on Newsroom, man. Come on, she was the Occupy Wall Street person. It was so good.
Never watched Newsroom.
Dude, I pay for our HBO Max. If you don't watch Newsroom in the next 4 weeks, I'm changing the password and deleting your profile. And don't act like I don't make do on my ultimatums, Gangsta Mario.
Oh, jeez. I've heard good things about it, and I was looking through her you know, IMDbiography.
Yeah.
And she was in 4 episodes of this show called Easy on Netflix.
Yep.
That I watched, but I don't know if like she was, I don't remember her in any episodes, but I did, you know, again, it's 3 seasons and I only watched one season.
Yeah. So I only watched 2 episodes of Easy. I was like, yeah, I don't think this one's for me.
Yeah.
But no, she was in Wolf of Wall Street. She's great. She's great. Anyway. But yeah, so that was interesting. I thought the Deep's wedding with the Church of a Collective was a little weird, or the announcement was a little weird. I have no idea what's going on there. Like, I half expect him to snap and just start killing people.
I don't think he is like built to do that.
No.
Although people snap. Yeah. I don't think you want to do that when you have a characters like Homelander and Stormfront. You just want to keep it on them. Mm-hmm. But I don't know where they're going with this either. And I know it looks like Maeve has kind of is recruiting him.
Right. For something.
Because like you, again, what you said is like, you know, Maeve, you're just waiting for Maeve to snap because she is holding a lot in the sense of what's happening with her and Elena and having being outed like by Homelander. Homelander's constant pushing.
Right.
So there is a lot of stuff underneath Maeve that I could see just exploding.
Mm-hmm.
And again, she recruited our buddy, the Deep.
I never watched Gossip Girl or Glee. So like, this is the first time I've ever seen Chase Crawford in anything, and I really like him. I find him just a really engaging actor who when he's on screen, it's like, okay, I get it. I hate the Deep. Like, the Deep is an awful person, and like that's the character, and he plays that guy to a T. So I don't know. I'm enjoying Chase Crawford, like, as this being the first time I've seen him actually do anything.
Do you remember the movie Covenant?
Like, I didn't see it.
2000s.
Yeah.
So it had him in it, Stephen Strait, Sebastian Stan.
Wow.
It had Riggs in it, our boy Riggs, Taylor Kish.
You're so coward, like, Riggins. steal Cripple's girl, but you won't fight a cripple. It's the best line in the entire series. That in Texas Forever. Anyway,
I love that show.
All right, so let's talk about the boys. We haven't talked about the boys at all.
Yeah. So we pick it up with our boy Butcher just pretty much in the dumps.
Yeah.
After
getting dumped.
Becca just said, yeah. Basically, Becca said, hey, you know what? It's a pick between you and the kid. Sorry, I'm picking the kid.
Yeah, she pushed that kid out, man. Like, you know, she did the work.
Yeah. And again, it didn't help when he is like, he's a soup freak.
Right.
So it didn't help your case, Butcher. So, you know, again, he's one of those that he likes pain. So what does he do? He gets drunk, finds the biggest guy in the bar, just wails on dude, and then just gets his ass stomped. And he's smiling the whole way. So that's our introduction into where Butcher's psyche is.
Which, right.
I mean, his psyche's pretty much always there. Anyway, yeah. And we're talking about, you know, people exploding. There are quite a few volatile individuals in this show.
Yeah, and, you know, Carl did such a great job of, like, he just wanted to not feel what he was feeling, and you could see that. And then the way he just took that beating, it was impressive, even though it was acted. You know, it was just like that Billy Butcher would just go out and do that. And two, it was kind of sad. Like, you know, you kind of feel bad for that old bastard. He's a crank, but, you know, he's a crank that's trying to kill soups.
Which, kill the right soups, not just soups. So,
you know, and then Huey kept calling him. And he's like, oh, I wanted to go to voicemail. And he's like, then why is this the fifth time you've called me? I thought that was pretty great. And then figuring out, like, him and Mother's Milk figuring out where Butcher is, and they go to visit him with his aunt, who's a drug dealer. I thought that was a good little twist.
Yeah, I'm really, really glad that Alaz Alonzo is getting more screen time.
Absolutely.
I'm really digging him as Mother's Milk.
Yep.
Like, he is, first of all, one of the most unique character names.
Yeah.
Hilarious. And, so real quick, one of the reaction channels I watch is like Nikki and Steven React. And one of the things they said, like, you know, because, you know, people are watching and they're trying to, like, throwing out spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I wonder if it's Mother's Milk because of, you know, like something to do with his mom.
They haven't read the comic.
I hear them say that, just like, because they were talking about how Homelander and his little milk fetish.
Yeah. So no, I the other thing I just got to in the comic was, like, his backstory when his powers turned on when he was in the army and he punched the guy's head clean off in a boxing match. Yeah, it's like, it's pretty cool. He's a cool character no matter what. But yeah, so they were there. Butcher's getting ready to leave again, and he pulls out and he just happens to look in the mirror, and who's just kind of peeking over the edge of the roof like, hey there. Hello. But Black Noir.
That I was trying to, and again, I was trying to figure out if he was just, did he think he was, like, totally out of sight, or is that just one of those?
I think he wanted to be seen.
That's
he,
what I was
he
gonna say.
He was thinking it was going to strike fear. So,
yes. So that was my thought too.
So I watched some recaps. I didn't watch reactions, but I watched some recaps. So in the spoilers, obviously spoilers, in the comic, Black Noir is a clone of Homelander. And I saw, I forget which channel it was on now. And I wish I could attribute it, but I'm going to totally say this is a YouTube channel who made this, who brought this up. And what if, so they made such a big deal about his brother, who is, you know, not with them anymore. Huey looking just like him. What if Black Noir is a clone of Billy's brother? And then it's Jack Quaid playing both roles.
I I will say from
my mind was my blown at that one.
Yeah. My knee-jerk reaction is no. In the sense of I don't think they would do that. But that would be fascinating, to be honest.
Well, because there's no way he could kill Black Noir then.
Yeah. I honestly think that would be, for me, that would be more interesting than if Black Noir was a Homelander clone.
Yes. Just 100. Because of, it's a, yeah, it's new.
Just because of what Huey, just because of what Lenny
yeah.
means to mm-hmm. to Butcher. That would be really fascinating.
I just, like, that stuck with me. Like, normally I'm like, I don't know. Like, I kind of like it when they follow the source material. I'm not going to lie. But, like, for something like that, it's like, oh, that's kind of cool. But, yeah, so, you know, he gets there and they're like, well, we could run. It's like, no, he's faster than a car. So they call in a fake gas leak. And then I don't understand why they didn't try and run then, right? I feel like they could have gotten away.
Because again, it's all about the image, and he was not going to kill them in broad day and like just with a bunch of people watching.
Right.
Unless they're is he going to sterilize that whole block of people?
I mean, you know, he didn't kill the little kid. Could. You know,
yeah.
he played with the bunny with him, and he did the bunny dance, and he set it down, and he like kind of those dizzle dance back and away. So yeah, I don't know. I thought it was weird. They went into a room with one exit, and they all three of them are smarter than that.
That was very weird. To your point, that's the last thing you want to do mm-hmm. is have one way to come out, so yeah. your enemy knows exactly where you're coming out of.
Yeah. Oh, and we got Terror finally.
I love Terror.
So, Terror, if you guys don't know or do know, it's his dog, and he's taught his dog to hump things when he just says "eff it," you know, obviously the whole word, and the dog will just go and hump whatever. And you know, Huey snuggling with the hump pig was pretty funny. that's his hump pig.
That's his
girlfriend. Anyway, but obviously Black Noir corners them. He stabs Mother's Milk. He's got Butcher on the ropes, and then we learn that, you know, and I think this is where the whole Lenny clone thing came from, is that Gus Fring has Lenny on a leash, and is a puppet, and they let the boys go because Butcher claims to, and I do not believe that he has pictures of the kid. The Homelander's kid.
Which, yeah, so, he doesn't.
No.
Not at all.
But yeah, all right. So let's get to Homelander in this episode.
And I know, look, I know we always say this, but Anthony Starr is so good.
He's amazing in this role.
He's so good.
So one of my favorite things to do in our little thumbnails now is to just put a picture, like a different, like crazy facial expression from Homelander, like peeking out of the picture. While we're talking about the boys, I think he's just like what he does with his face, like to show all the myriad of emotions that he feels is fantastic. And like his face is almost like Jim Carrey esque.
Yeah, it is with, The first time he does that in this episode. Well, first of all, let's go back to when he finds out that he may have hit an innocent bystander.
Well, so
not may have.
So he takes off and flies to the other side of the world to destroy one of these supervillains that he created by releasing Compound V out to the world. And he flies in, he sees what's happening, and he just laser visions the guy. And then flies
away.
Doesn't even look. And he happened to laser vision through that guy, through a cloth, into an innocent person.
So his, but
are you gonna talk about his comment? Because his comment was great. His comment was so good. Go ahead.
I mean, so you know, they don't have food, but they have a cell phone.
It was just like, wow, you are a prick.
But it's, his reaction when he actually sees that he accidentally killed the other guy, he's like, oh, we're like, even him, he actually gets it. Like,
this is bad. This is not good. And then he spends the rest of the episode doing damage control only to make things worse.
Yeah, I was about to say, which Homelander is not good at that type of damage control.
So he's like
Brock Lesnar. Yeah. He needs his own, you know, he needs his own Paul Heyman.
He needs an advocate. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what Elizabeth Shue's character was, basically.
Yeah.
She was his mouthpiece.
Well, and she kind of kept him in check, like Paul Heyman kept Brock Lesnar in check. When he flew down to Vought Square Tower, whatever, where that one senator was given the talk about superheroes, and it was the angry mob, and he flies in, he tries to apologize, and then he's like, you know, it happens. And everyone's like, wait, what do you mean it happens? How often does this happen? And they're like, they're flipping him off and they're yelling at him. And then, like, again, spoilers, he has a dream sequence. And I swear, like, I would not have blinked an eye if it was real.
I didn't, like, me too.
I mean, I was shocked by it. It was shocking.
I did. That was a WTF moment right there.
But
like, did he just do that?
So he just lights it up, you know. And
did you see the emotions playing off on his face?
The sadness, the grief, to the anger, to the, oh holy shit, what did I just do? To the, no, I was right. I did the right thing. In the dream sequence, and then. So what he did was he lit up his laser vision and just started sweeping across the crowd, just cutting people in half. One, it was gross. It was so awesome. Like he cut that soldier in half, like, and cut his finger off, who was giving the middle finger right there in the front row. But then people are running, and as they're running, the sweep of red just like slices through them like butter. But no, and then when it wasn't, the constraint on his face and like the pain that he felt for not doing what he wanted to do, for like, all right, I have to go figure something out. I never noticed before this episode, when he takes off to fly, he makes like a swimming stroke before he leaves.
I didn't notice that either until the scene where we see him, you know, defeat the soup terrorist.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I just did not pay attention to it.
And so I went back and I looked, and he does it every time. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. And like when he lands, he does kind of a reverse version of that almost, where it's like, hello, I'm here. I'm going to kill you now. But yeah.
And you talk about this. This is a character that's a sociopath in, like, to the nth degree, and Star is so good that he can pull out sympathy for that character. So when he goes into the tunnel,
yeah,
and he's like looking on the phone and seeing everything that's being said about him,
and they're all Stormfront's memes.
Yeah, all those emotions on his face, it's like, yeah, you are a piece of trash character.
You're garbage.
But I kind of feel bad for you right now.
I, you know, we said it last week. I feel sorry for him. Like,
yeah,
he's just he's just a guy who's got really superpowers, and like, you know, we were talking about athletes and actors and the political arena right now, right? There are all these people who have a tremendous amount of power, but they don't have any intelligence to back up what they're talking about. And that's Homelander. He's not smart. He's not a bright guy. He just goes around, spouting off statistics about demographics. And I almost feel like Chris Jericho on AEW is making fun of him in a way, but I know he's not, you know, with the whole demo god thing. But yeah, so it's just one of those things where it's like, I do feel bad for him, because like, you know, Dr. Ryan in the first season was like, you know, we found when they were raised without their moms, they became really violent, and he was cloned. You know, he didn't have a mom and dad.
Right. So, but yeah, man, Star, And then so what he finally does is, you know, he's been talking about how he doesn't need help, and he ended up going to Stormfront.
What an amazing scene. What an amazing scene. And so this is so we finally got one of the scenes that we saw from the trailer where he shoots her in the chest with the laser beams when she's like kind of holding the top of her uniform open. And it was like so much different than what I expected from what that scene was going to be.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what was going on in that scene.
It was foreplay. Yeah. That's what was going on. It was foreplay.
Yeah, it kind of put Spike and Buffy tearing down the building. Put it to shame.
Right? Yeah. This was like Buffy Riley level of just hatred towards each other.
So what does that mean that now that they've become lovers, what does that mean for the boys? What does that mean for Homelander? And again, I say what does it mean for Homelander because let's be honest, Stormfront is in control of this.
Yes.
And again, she's going to play off his need to have someone there for him, mm-hmm. have someone actually care and mm-hmm. listen to him, mm-hmm. just like Elizabeth Shue's character.
And then she's going to make him do whatever she wants. I will say the love scene, I don't know if love is the right word, but the love scene between the two of them was crazy. And then the end where they're just flying with no pants on was like, all right. That must have been an interesting day to shoot.
Yeah. I think there was an interview with him talking about it.
Yeah, and she was still like up there kind of like, you know, moving her hips back and forth. It's like, wow. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so – I don't know. So in the comic again, let's refer back to the comic. I think MM takes one of Stormfront's eyes. It might have been Billy. I may be mixing things up, but then like they end up killing him as a group, because you know they're all super strong, and yeah. So, but I don't see. I don't want them to kill Stormfront. Like, I want to see Homelander have the crisis of conscience, and then, you know, what happens to him in the comic happened to him in the show, but at the hands of Stormfront.
I'm so curious to see what's going to happen. Because I would like, and I know people say that, dude, there's no redeeming him. Well, Darth Vader got redeemed, and Darth Vader was responsible for how many deaths?
Ben Solo, yo.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know who was worse, because Darth Vader was doing it for 30 years. So
I mean, Darth Vader killed younglings. So for the there, younglings? He gets a badge of honor. I mean, a demerit.
Master Skywalker.
Hello, Master Skywalker. The way that little guy just jumps back when he ignites the lightsaber.
That kind of broke my heart just thinking about it.
Did you see that? Did you see the picture of that kid and Hayden like recently? They got back together and it said no hard feelings. So, but yeah.
But yeah, like to your point, I would love, just because Star is such a tremendous character. Mm-hmm. I wonder if this kind of like partnership is going to lead to a confrontation. Like, and again, going back to, you know, somebody blowing their top, Maeve is getting in that, hey, I'm going directly after Homelander or indirectly after Homelander.
Yeah.
Is that it? Would that, what happens if he kills, if, you know, if he is there when Maeve dies?
Yeah.
And that's one of those things that triggers him.
Yeah,
back to,
I've been wrong all this time. You know, I have these powers. I need to use them right.
Yeah.
You know, like Starlight says, she's a fucking superhero. She doesn't mass murder people.
Right.
Anyway.
So,
yeah.
That's, again.
Dude, this was three episodes. This was another great episode. Like, I don't know how you feel about this season, but like, I feel like, I don't feel like this is better or worse than season one. I feel like this is a continuation of the greatness that was season one. And like, I'm kind of looking forward to the season being over and going back and like watching two episodes a day for like, you know, 16 days.
Yeah. And again, a lot of times we make that comparison, you know, and it's natural to say, okay, this is better than this for this reason. Like Infinity War is better than Endgame for this. Mm-hmm. That's fine because that's natural. Mm-hmm. But your point, which you said, I love that because I don't think it's better. I don't think season one was better. I think you said it's just like a great continuation that keeps – that maintains its level. The best way I could describe it. Yeah.
You know, they added stuff that they had to add to make it original. The characters are all going through arcs where they're learning or not learning, but they're transitioning into other things. And yeah, it's just really good storytelling. Hey, CW, pay attention.
Well, CW did have Kripke for Supernatural the first 5 seasons.
What do you mean? The only 5 seasons.
I'm actually rewatching with some reactors, rewatching season 10, and I forgot how good season 10 was. Oh, season 10 was awesome.
How is there a season 10 if there were only 5 seasons to the show? You're just blowing my mind there, Daryl. Anyway, all right. Well, you know, so we're recording this on Thursday. So by the time this airs on Sunday, there will be a new episode of The Boys. There will be a new episode of Ted Lasso on Apple TV Plus, I think is what it is. If you guys aren't watching that, if you have the way to watch it through like your phone, if you have an iPhone or tablet or computer or Apple TV, I highly recommend it. I think it's on like Roku too as well. Daryl, you should totally check this out. Jason Sudeikis is great. And also on Apple TV Plus, did you ever watch the Ewan McGregor docuseries Long Way Down or Long Way Round and Long Way Down, where him and his buddy Charlie in Long Way Round, they rode motorcycles from London to New York?
I just going saw a through trailer Russia. For... Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. And then in the second season, Long Way Down, they rode from Scotland to the Horn of Africa down. And then now Long Way Up just started airing on Apple TV Plus, where they are riding from the most southern tip of Argentina. So they're like essentially almost in Antarctica, and they're riding Harley Davidson Livewires electric motorcycles up from there to Los Angeles.
That's the promo. I saw the promo for this next season then.
Yeah. So
I never heard of that. I know nothing about this series.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Interesting. It's really like, it's so like when Angel and I first got together, like the Long Way Round had just started. So like, you know, and it's been 12 years since Long Way Down. So yeah, like we love it. It's great. And it's definitely worth watching. And if you can get to the Apple TV Plus, that's my recommendation this week. And if Daryl had it, we would totally be talking about Ted Lasso every week as well.
Can you get through it? Do you need an Apple device or can you get through it? You
know, I think there's some smart devices where you can get it, and we can figure that out. But yeah, like if you guys pirate it. I don't care. Like Ted Lasso is my favorite show of 2020 so far.
And it's funny that we talk about, you know, who's listening, because when you mentioned Ted Lasso, I had not heard of it at all. And now I've already seen like 3 promos for it in different spots.
Yes. Yeah. And I put the meme up of it, or I made a meme on the Instagram page with him, because he had one of my favorite quotes by Walt Whitman in this show last week. You know, so.
I might have to take a gander at that.
Yeah, it's like if you like Jason Sudeikis, it's so. I mean, one, Jason Sudeikis is awesome. I think he's another one of those can do no wrong actors in my mind. But yeah, yeah. So it says be curious, not judgmental, is what Walt Whitman said, and I think in the times that we live in right now, being curious and not judgmental is a way to not underestimate people and a way to learn about people and a way to better understand people.
That's a very good quote.
Yeah. And I think that's a good place to stop for today.
Yeah. I think that's a perfect spot.
Awesome. All right, guys. gals, everyone, thank you for listening, and we'll be back next Sunday. Bye.
See you.
The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati, with new episodes out every Sunday. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as at Infamous Podcast. You can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio, or your favorite podcatching app. If you're enjoying the show, consider giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or check out our Patreon at patreon.com/infamouspodcast for our new tiers and rewards. The Infamous Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Brian Tudor, with music provided by Michael Henry from meetmichaelhenry.com. You can find me on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as at Brian Tudor. So, whenever you're listening to the show, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Later.